Hello and welcome to another Thursday Morning Manna here. For those of you just joining or for the first time, I'm Pastor Jeff Glenn and it's my pleasure to take you through the Word and get some encouragement. Last week we spoke a little bit about spiritual warfare and I wanted to follow that up with Ephesians 6 talking about the full armor of God. And so we see that in verse 10 of chapter 6 through verse 18. Paul is finishing up his letter to the Ephesians. And he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of the wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel." So Paul, as he's closing out his letter, wants to put a fine point on the main points, right? These are the things I want to leave you with. So we see in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." And so he's reminding us once again that we're to rely on the Lord's strength, not our own. And it can seem tempting through our own efforts and, you know, attempting to right the wrongs of this day or attempting to withstand evil alone. But Paul's reminding us to be wise in how we do this, because as we were reminded last week, that the darkness is passing away because the true light has come. And so we are to put our strength in the Lord, or draw our strength from the Lord. And so in verse 11, we see it here, "Put on the whole armor." And this is the word panoply, which means, it's a compound word meaning all and arms, or armor. So all armor. And so what the point is here is that the resistance that we see here against these spiritual, during the spiritual battle, is going to take all of what God supplies. And so last week, you know, we saw that we are in a battle, but it's not against our neighbor or our fellow image bearer of God. It's against these spiritual powers, right? So there's certainly people who are deliberately and willfully practicing deception and wickedness. However, the source and their motivation is this spiritual darkness. And so to engage biblically, as Paul is encouraging us to do here, is to do so spiritually and in God's power, in all that God provides. And so it's also not lost on us, right? We've heard this, that most of these weapons are defensive. So in verse 13, we see this. We see, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God," there it is again, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So again, we're to take up all of the arms that the Lord has given us. And everything that's provided by God, we should employ that, not leaving anything out in our personal defense in this battle, so that we can withstand what the enemy will throw at us, and then we will be able to stand. And so, you know, in video games or perhaps chess, you know, that's probably the only two forms of battle that it's acceptable to sit down, right? However, this spiritual battle is very much a hand-to-hand combat as well, in the sense that a relaxed posture is easily overtaken. So consider the formations of those who are preparing for physical battle, right? Hand-to-hand combat, boxing or something like that. So their posture is upright, on their feet, and their eyes are open and alert. They're anticipating the attack, and they're planning for the defense and the counterattack. And so they're standing. You know, they make their position known, and they're ready for battle, and they're ready to withstand the attack and, again, to counterattack. So in the spiritual sense, it's the same thing. Standing means making ourselves ready and our position known. So Paul continues in this truth that we must gird our waist. And, you know, the practice of taking up the tunic and tucking it in the belt to make that person ready for battle so that they could be agile and move around so they could fight. And so that girdle that supports everything, that everything is tucked into, is the truth, as we see here. Standing therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And so that thing that holds us together, that we tuck in those things that would hinder us from being nimble and agile, that is the truth. So the truth is what holds us together. And so we move on here to where we put on the breastplate of righteousness. And so, so we see this. Let's back up here real quick with this being agile and quick, right? Without truth, we're not able to maneuver in this spiritual battle. And we know this by example, that we're not to engage with this spiritual battle and spiritual wickedness with anything but truth. And then later on, as we'll see here, the word. But Jesus modeled this for us perfectly in the wilderness with the devil. You know, Jesus could have spoken a word and obliterated the devil easily, but he didn't. He responded to each of the devil's temptations with the truth of Scripture, with truth. And so it's not like that heretical meme that we see on Facebook that Jesus and the devil are arm wrestling and we're kind of biting our nails to figure out who's going to win. No. Jesus as creator has already defeated his rebellious creation in Satan, right? So we are fighting from victory, not for victory, but it's still a battle nonetheless, and it's fraught with real consequences and eternal consequences, right? So as Jesus spoke the truth of Scripture to Satan, we too, that's the truth that's going to hold us together, is the truth. And so in Isaiah 29:16 through 17, speaking of the Lord, it says here, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him and his own righteousness, and it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation on his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with zeal as a cloak. So as we move on here to see the breastplate of righteousness, we see that this is the common theme in Scripture, that it's, again, it's the Lord's righteousness that guards us. And what does it guard? It guards the front, right? Our vital organs, our heart. It guards our heart. And so Christ's righteousness, it's his holiness that brought about our salvation. Then it's what covered our helplessness, right? So his holiness covers our helplessness. Knowing that, holding on to that, that covers our heart, that protects our heart, and it reminds us that while emotions are powerful, they didn't influence Christ to save us, right? It was a choice for him to save us. And so we are to respond in truth, guarding our heart lest emotions get the better of us that cloud that truth. And then we see in verse 15, the gospel shoes, Isaiah 57:2, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. And so being faithful to fulfill the Great Commission where you're at, right? To make disciples and to teach them to obey Jesus. This is making sure that your feet are shod with the gospel of peace, right? Being prepared for that. And then in verse 16, we say, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And so in that day, if you were at war, you would, you know, have infantry soldiers, and they would have their shields, and the enemy would shoot flaming arrows at you. And the idea there would be is as those flaming arrows came in and landed among you, it would drive you apart. And if they stuck in your wooden shield, that it would cause you to run off. And so that's the idea of these fiery darts, is something that is going to cause us not to be unified, not to stay together. And so this defensive huddle that they would get into is they would come together, put their shields together and above them, and that would protect them from the fiery darts. So the picture here is of unity because of our faith, right? So we're united by our faith, and it should be the one that surrounds us and covers us. And so it's like every other piece of armor, right? It can grow dull, or you can grow dull in using it, right? There's a book called The Art of War, and the author was a Chinese general from the year 500, and he wrote about the art of war, about maintaining your weapons. He wrote, "Now when your weapons are dull and your ardor dampened, your strength exhausted and your treasure spent, other chieftains will take advantage of you." And so again, it's the same idea that we need to keep our weapons, even our defensive weapons, in good repair and keep them sharp. So then we move on to verse 17, where we see the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So protecting our mind by taking thoughts captive and making them obedient to Christ is key. We need to watch what we're thinking about and what we're allowing our minds to linger on, and taking those captive, making them obedient to the truth of Christ and His Word. And so we are saved by Christ and we're sustained by Him. And this daily reminder, like, strengthens our, as the Chinese guy said, our ardor, our zeal, our ability to have gusto when we're fighting, right? And so the final weapons, after preparing for battle so that we're not defeated by the wiles, by the trickery of the enemy, right? We have readied ourselves for attack, and now we're ready for the offense. We're ready to counterattack. And we see it here is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. But it doesn't stop there. So we know this to be the Word of God. This is our offensive weapons. And then it ends in praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And so he's saying, take up the Word of God and pray. Use your intimate relationship with God to seek Him for His will, and to ask Him for the things that you need to do what He's asked you to do. And finally, Paul's saying a prayer for himself and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So even the Apostle Paul needed help and encouragement and courage to speak the gospel. But by staying armored up with all that God has to supply us, then we'll be able to withstand the wiles of the wicked one, and then we'll be able to go on the counteroffensive and step into that victory that God's called us to. So bless you guys. Have a good rest of your week.